Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce this week's host of Business Talk. He's a contributing writer for Business West. Here is George O'Brien.
Okay, everyone, welcome to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today. I can't wait to get to it, but I will, because first we need to hear this important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we are back, and as promised, we have a great show for you today. We have with us Garrett DeStefano. He is the director of dining services at UMass Amherst. Let me rephrase that. The award-winning dining services at UMass Amherst. Garrett, how are you today?
I'm doing well, George. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. We've been meaning to get you on for a while. We profiled the dining service at UMass a few weeks ago, and we wanted to get you on. This is a great story, one of the better success stories in Western Mass, and we wanted to get you on the podcast and talk about it. So we will do that. I want to preface this, and not to personalize it too much, but I'm a graduate of UMass Amherst. I went there half a century ago or more back then. Trust me, the food was not as good at the university back then. I don't think we cared as much back then either. I think we were just a lot of things have changed since 1975, and we're going to talk about that. But let's just start, first of all, with your job and what you do. Tell us a little bit about UMass Dining just quickly, and then we want to get into what goes into what makes us the top dining program in the whole country.
Well, thank you again, George. So I guess starting off with what I do, I am the director of dining for the University of Massachusetts. I oversee our residential dining commons, our markets and cafes across the campus, our catering operations, as well as our concession operations. So you might call me the CFO, George, of the University of Massachusetts. That's the chief food officer for everything that goes on at UMass. I have the privilege of working with a tremendous team of people. My boss, Ken Toon, who is our director of auxiliary enterprises, who's a phenomenal mentor of mine. Alex Ong, who is our director of culinary excellence, and as well as my team of people I get to work with every single day, from Andrew Makis and Lynn Pelkey and Cynthia and Chris Howland, who is our procurement director, all of which, including the rest of this amazing team of 700 employees plus 1,000 students every single day. We're feeding 50,000 meals, about 8 million a year. We're committed to very healthy, sustainable, delicious food. Local sourcing is really important to us, as well as creating global cuisine. We have over 36% of our students hail from different countries around the world. So authentic cuisine is really important to us, as well as the idea of creating experiences. We're really passionate about, you know, creating dining experiences. We find that when we survey students, and the dining commons happen to be a place where they do their socialization. They meet friends. They have friends that last for lifetimes. They get to know one another. They learn different cultures through co-curricular experiences, meaning we have different specials, Diwali. We do Black History Month. We're looking at indigenous meals. We put together all sorts of celebratory type of experiences for students to really understand not only the food, the world around them, but they get to know one another and really kind of have that great college experience.
So let's talk about, again, it sounds like a successful sports team in a lot of ways, a lot of components coming together, everything from coaching and leadership with Ken to a team to and then a game plan. I think the analogy works in a lot of different ways. You want to kind of talk about how it all came together and when it started coming together? I mean, the school was not ranked anywhere near the top of the listings, even probably 20 years ago. But
absolutely. So, you know, using, you know, Ken, and unfortunately, one thing Ken is a Cowboys fan. So, you know, but I'm going to use the Patriots dynasty to kind of, I guess, build off of the sports analogy of him being the Belichick of it. And, you know, when he started here 25 years ago or so, that we were ranked as that food. And, you know, it really was a hill that he was climbing, but he couldn't do it alone. So what he did, and, you know, started investing not in First Capital, but people, and developing people around him, and really putting the power of the chef first, and really starting to invest in authentic cuisines and creating these experiences. And then as we started progressing forward, you know, putting those component people in the right places, empowering people to do what they did best, really giving a lot of autonomy to our frontline staff to be able to create those authentic experiences. Because when you really think about it, it's the staff who interact most directly with students on a day-to-day basis. And these are the folks that understand that it's someone's birthday, or it's that, you know, there's special days, or there's a test coming up, or whatever it might be, that, you know, we have on a day-to-day basis, that these students really kind of create that kind of overall overarching, you know, university experience. And then from that point in time, training them and really having an opportunity for us to have a skilled staff. We've had a culinary conference here that's been going on now. It's actually going on its 30th year. So when Ken started here about 25 years ago, he brought that with him from Canada. And we bring chefs from all across the world to the University of Massachusetts in June. That's a huge R&D event for us. But our staff go along with that. And as we develop different cuisines from the Middle East, from Latin America, from Mediterranean, from Southeast Asia, Indian, you name it, all these top chefs are teaching not just UMass folks, but schools like Notre Dame and Yale and Stanford and Texas. They all come here. So they collaborate about all these different things. So as that training developed, the level of culinary developed. Then so we started developing our operations. So building new dining commons. In 2006, we had the Berkshire Commons. And then we did Hampshire after that. And then after Worcester and the Campus Center. Our dining commons, by the way, are these large 60,000 square foot facilities that feed anywhere between 8,000 to 10,000 meals a day in an all-you-care-to-eat facility. For those of you who may not think of it as almost like a cruise ship or a resort type of dining, where they have the opportunity to have all these different types of food items and have them made their way. Now, why is that important? Well, we've also found that it brings value to students, that, you know, the meal plans that they're on, they use. One of the most expensive meal plans is the meal plan you don't use, is what our vice chancellor talks about frequently. And also creating the idea for students to start to build those communities around food, as well as the idea of, you know, creating value with the plan such that, you know, students are feeling like they're getting their money's worth with these particular mm-hmm. types of things. So, you know, as Ken started to go through that process, as we started to evolve, it wasn't, you know, overnight. But as we've gotten to where we are, the team around him, as to build back to the analogy, is that's what made our overall success.
Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, and I know this is a question that you could probably answer for the next 2 hours, let alone the next 15 minutes, just how important is food on a college campus today? I know that there's great competition for students. Students are looking for more out of their college experience. We all talk about that word value. Just how important is food today?
Well, food is extraordinarily important to them. And that's just not here at UMass. This is across the country. As you start to look at surveys, we're part of a national association called NACOS. It's National Association of College and University Food Service. And Ken and I just were part of a conference of leadership a couple of weeks ago. And they were talking about, you know, how food impacts college campuses and what the importance of it is on college campuses and how it creates all these experiences. And it is true. Over the past 20 years or so, this has been a very important aspect of campus life. So much so that students start to look at choosing colleges. Now, obviously, academics are the number one factor in choosing a university. UMass, a little biased being an alum myself, is, you know, an amazing university. But when you look at, you know, choosing colleges and how that campus experience comes into play, it's extraordinarily important to the students on campus. We find that about 70% or so of students surveyed say that dining was an important factor in choosing it. Now, when you also look at that and saying the diverse demographic breakdown going into the future of students who most popularity of students, especially in Southwest and Southeast, are non-white. So you're looking at cultural diverse food that has to be authentic, which really drives students to look at the university and say, wow, this is a home for me for the next 4 years.
Talk a little bit about that word authentic. You used it a lot already in this podcast, and you guys used it a lot when we were up doing that story several weeks ago. I mean, obviously it has a technical definition, but when it comes to food, what does authentic mean?
You know, I get quite simply, authentic, it can take on, you know, relatively specific terms in terms of, you know, the continuity or the makeup of an item to be as specific as it possibly can be. But, you know, in our, I guess the simplest term is food tastes the way it should. Food tastes the way that you expect it to taste. Now, authentic, and that's where you have to have this idea of very skilled culinary, as well as people who are culturally aware of different types of food. Food using Indian cuisine, for example, there are various different regions within India. And food from the north, the south, the east, and the west tastes differently. There's different types of flavor, different types of spices used in the dals and the marsalas and things like that. So we have an advantage of having folks who hail from all around the world who understand those nuances. So when you have an authentic dish, the food that tastes the way that you believe it should taste, and creating that experience, that's really what we're driving at when it comes to authentic experience or authentic flavor.
All right, you're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. This week we're talking with Garrett DeStefano. He is the Director of Dining Services at UMass Amherst, or the CFO, Chief Food Officer, as he said. We're talking about the award-winning UMass Dining Program. This is now, what, 7 years? I guess 8 years, technically, if we include the pandemic year. So 8 years running as the top program in the country. Tell us what goes into those rankings and how we get to the top.
Well, you know, I guess the simplest explanation is you consistently serve excellent food every day. Now, how that comes into play, you have a wonderful team of talented people who work tirelessly every day to make that happen, and connecting with the student population, and not for the sake of the ranking, but more for the sake of creating that experience and delivering, delivering upon their expectations. Now, when we are surveyed, and it's a survey that is conducted annually by the Princeton Review, that they survey over 380 schools across the country. So there's hundreds of thousands of surveys that are submitted. And we, our students who, you know, will fill out the survey without, you know, it's a function of all other things as well. So for example, they'll ask about, you know, their academics, they ask about all of the things. So one of the big factors for us is obviously how is the food on the campus? So the students will rank based upon large schools, small schools, and then the Princeton Review, using some form of an algorithm that they put together, will then take all that data and then put it into a list and say, okay, of the schools, that the 385 schools across the country or so, here are the listing of the schools that have, you know, the best, highest scored food based upon, you know, how they account for big and small schools and things of that nature. And UMass has, for the past 7 years, ranked number one. Yes, there was the pandemic year where we hit the, I guess they called it the best of list. So any which way, getting back to the sports analogy, we have one more championship than the Patriots do.
Okay, staying with the sports analogy, and you and I have talked about this before, getting on top is one thing. Sticking with the sports analogy, there have been teams that have gotten to the top once, the 85 Bears, the 86 Mets, you know, the other teams that are on that list. It's one thing to get there. It's another thing to stay there. and continue to win over and over again. Tell us what has enabled UMass to do that. I mean, this is serious competition now. There's, as you said earlier, food is really important. These schools are upping the ante. They're improving their programs. They're coming to you for best practices, and you're more than willing to share it with them. And despite all that, you keep on top every year. How do you do it?
Well, again, you know, it starts with, and I have to give a lot of credit to the team. I have a lot of credit to my boss, Ken Toon, and the support we get from the campus, including our chancellor and our vice chancellors, Andy Mangles, who consistently support us with this stuff. The reality is consistently connecting with the student population, understanding what their needs are. And we do that through a variety of different manners, but we do it through anecdotally, when we connect with them, talk with them, talk about, you know, how they're feeling. Our student ambassadors, who we connect with, the 26 of them, we meet with them routinely. They tell us day in and day out. They fill out surveys on a weekly basis of how their food experiences were. Social media, we follow that in terms of surveys we put out there in terms of how different events were, how you like the food, customer feedback on a daily basis. So we're constantly answering messages, connecting with students, as well as quantitatively. When we look at things like our surveys, where we survey students twice a year, we ask them a host of different questions about how your food experiences were. We take all that information and we're constantly evolving from it. Our menu evolves daily. It's not one of the, we have a 3-week cycle menu in our locations that you'll have different menu items over 21 days. And then we overlay that with each location has different menus. So we have 4 different dining commons. So you have basically 80 different menus running over a 3-week period of time. So then you look at things like, okay, how can you overlay special events? So for example, I talked earlier about different types of cultural holidays. As we look at, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month, it starts in September and goes into October. We look at things like Diwali. We look at things like, you know, the Christmas holidays. We look at the Hanukkah. We look at, you know, different types of events that go into Lunar New Year, and as well as Black History Month. And so all these different events that are going on over the course of the year, we tie into our dining operation so that it gives us some inspiration and some direction as to how we can steer menu. That also steers into seasonality. So you start to look at the spring, the fall, the winter months, and we're able to steer menu around the harvest and different crops we're getting. We connect with different farmers and we talk to them about how their operations are going. And students really appreciate that. They love, for example, maple wine milk and things like that, where we have some of phenomenal Jersey cows that produce some of the best milk in the valley. So we really want to bring, as our chancellor talks about, UMass to the Pioneer Valley, the Pioneer Valley to UMass. So this is the way we use that gateway is food to be able to do that. So as you start to look, and finally, even you look at customer feedback, you're looking at customer feedback, you can say everyone wants to hear good news, but when you hear the bad news, people tend to cringe sometimes. But if you use that and say, well, how do I need to improve? Well, your customers are telling you, this is how you need to improve. These are the things we'd like to see. Now, be honest, there's some feedback that you kind of have to take your water off the duck's back and say, okay, someone might have been venting about something. But if there is a nugget of information there that you can say that, for example, we would like dinner that goes later, or we would like to have more plant-based proteins, or we would like to have different types of cultural dishes, then that's information you could use to talk to the chefs about and say, okay, let's see if we can't design a more robust Indian breakfast, for example, or let's look at a way that we might be able to extend dinners where we have over Ramadan for suhoors that we do into the early morning hours. So these are things that our students are telling us, and then we use our very talented team to action these plans, and then that's how we continuously improve.
Well, that's one thing we weren't saying back in 1975. Give me more plant-based proteins, please. I don't know. But in the time we have left, I mean, the food is so good at UMass Amherst now that parents are scheduling visits and coming up to have food with their sons and daughters in the dining commons. Talk about that a little bit. And that's going to lead into one of my favorite talking points of Steak and Lobster Night. We certainly didn't have that in 1975. This is become a big Halloween tradition up at UMass. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. So We on Halloween we have our all treats and no tricks, which we serve over 14,000 lobsters. So every student who's on the who can come in at all of our dining commons, we have our steak and lobster event, and it is by far our most popular dinner that we serve all year long. We combine that with pumpkin painting contests and costume contests. We have magicians and fortune tellers, so it's a big event that we have in the locations, and it's a lot of fun. Our chancellor joined us this year and toured all the locations, and it's a great opportunity to really see students hanging out, having a lot of fun, and building that community around food, like we talked about. But that community also, George, extends to our families. So, on our meal plans, families eat for free. So if your son, daughter, whatever, is on a meal plan, the parents can come up and eat in the dining commons as many times as they want with their with the student. And that, it serves a couple of purposes for us, or many more than a couple, is that first of all, it can kind of contributes to that transparency of the food is consistently what you see. It's not great on day one and move out day or commencement day. It's the other 200 semester days in between those days. We are still doing an excellent job, and we want to have their feedback about stuff. It also provides for additional value. So if you're going to pick up your student, you can come and grab a bite to eat, a cup of coffee, whatever it might be. We want you to join us to have those particular types of experiences within the dining locations, as well as a commencement. We open it up to what we call Let Us Serve You One Last Meal. And we have over 70% of our seniors are still on a meal plan. To kind of give you some context to that number, when we look at student meal plan penetration over the course of universities, UMass is about 92%. The NAICS average, which is that National Association of College and University Food Service, ranks at about 61, 62% penetration rate across the country. So we're about 30% higher. We have 30% more of our population on a meal plan than other schools do. But about 70% of our seniors are on a plan. So that means that even our fourth-year students are at a higher rate than. So how does that play into graduation? Well, we open it up to the entire family. We've had situations where 30 family members have joined us in the Berkshire Dining Commons to see their daughter, who's the first from their family to graduate college, and talk about an amazing experience where they're all together celebrating, and they choose to celebrate in Berkshire Dining Commons. That's amazing. And those are the types of experiences we want to have. And those are the things we create from the day you move into UMass, or the day you're even looking at UMass on a new student to new student orientation, to move in to commencement. We want to continue that relationship, and the families are a really big part of that.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. We're running out of time. We just wanted to, again, thank you for coming on and talking about UMass Dining. This is an unbelievable success story, and I think that there are lessons there for businesses up and down the Pioneer Valley when it comes to excellence, listening to your customers, responding to your customers, and just continuing to provide a quality product. So keep up the good work, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, George. Thanks for having me. All the best in the new year.
Okay, and to you too. And thank you to all of you for listening. This has been Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. I'm George O'Brien, filling in for Joe Bednar. We'll see you next time.